The following audio is from Living Axe Church in Tyler, Texas. For more information about the church, you can visit our website, www.livingaxechurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Living Axe Church.
You take your Bibles this morning and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be reading verses 27 through 29 in just a moment or two. And I know some people have had a very rough week this week. It's just been a tough week and a lot of things, but especially, and thank you, Patrick, for praying for El Paso in particular. And then last night, I don't know if you heard, but there was another shooting in Dayton, Ohio, which is very unusual. And I think six or seven were killed there too. So this is a wicked world. And the good news is the hope is Christ. And ultimately, and I hope this morning that as you've come here, that you're here to be encouraged by the Word of God. Because we have a, you know, church is a place where we can come together and we can throw away all that crud, all that we've had during the week. We don't want to ignore it as in it doesn't exist because we want to go and minister to it. But on the other hand, we want to come and just lay everything before the throne of Jesus and lay it down and ask Him for help in this very difficult time. So I pray that the Word of God this morning, even as it's taught and preached here, will be encouraging to you this morning. We're going to have the Lord's Supper soon too, and I so much pray that this will be a great encouragement to all of us too, to remember what Christ has done for us too. So if you want to stand with me in the honor of reading God's Word this morning, Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 27 through 29. This is the Word of the Lord. By faith he left Egypt, that is Moses, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. This is the word of the Lord, and thanks be to God, and you may be seated this morning. Now, I'm going to begin with a question this morning, which I often do, but and I would like to offer a $100 reward for this, but I can't. So the answer or the question is, what is God's most frequent command in the Bible? It's not rhetorical. Somebody, anybody know? What is God's most, what is it? What? Fear me. Very close. Okay, it's do not be afraid. Okay, that over 300 times, that seems to be God's most frequent command in the Bible. Okay, is do not be afraid. And this morning, as we study, continue our study in Hebrews 11, which we're going to be ending up, Kevin next week will be ending us, getting us out of Hebrews 11. And we're going to be noticing one particular thing, that is the power of faith to conquer fear. Faith conquers fear, and that's really what we're going to be talking about this morning. But let me ask you this morning, what are you afraid of? Isn't that fun to think about? What do you fear? In other words, what actually scares you? And I realize there's different levels and types of fear in our lives. There's that fear of walking by yourself down the road at night when it's really, really dark out and there's no lights out or there's no lights at all. There's a little bit of fear. Maybe for some of you that's not true, but for me it is. There's the fear, there's a different kind of fear. One that I hate, and I always say this never happens to me, and that is the fear of running out of gas in your car when that light's on, that little light, you know, that says you need gas. And that fear of, boy, am I going to run out and I can't find a gas station close, right? There's that kind of fear. And then there's a fear I'm going to read to you. It is the archibutyrophobia, which I know many of you have this morning. And that is the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. So that's a fear many of you have, I'm sure. There's the fear of pregnant moms and their babies. And will the delivery go smoothly? Is my baby going to be okay? There's this fear of finances. Will I have enough to make it through the month? Or as a younger person, will I have enough money later in life to be truly happy? I mean, will my dreams come true or will I be poor? You know, that's a fear. There's the fear for our children. In other words, will they grow up, get married, have happy lives? I mean, I can tell you my middle son, we thought when he was little, we thought, who would marry him? And it was pretty scary. So we just thought, there's no way this kid's going to get married. And so we kind of resigned ourselves. He's going to be with us till he's 80. And thankfully, the Lord was gracious in that sense for him. And then anyway, but then our daughter, we worried whether she would be able to even make it through high school. And we started looking at some of the problems she had with learning issues and things like that. And now she's finishing up a very competitive master's degree. So, you know, you fear that at some point. We have so many fears for our children. And then, you know, there's the fear of death. You know, when, how, will it be painful? I don't know if you, I start thinking about this all the time. Will it happen soon or later? You know, how is this, my death, going to happen? And then there are other things, like, is heaven real? I mean, is hell real? Or do I simply just rot in the ground? I mean, all those are fears. Where will I spend eternity? And then there's one that Kevin is worried about. There is the fear of getting old, okay? In other words, will people reject me because I'm older? Which happens, by the way, if you don't know that. It happens. You know, you fear getting older. And then Kevin actually enlightened me about FOMO, the fear of missing out. I don't know if you know about this, but he enlightened me on it. That many people experience this today, especially like in social media. We see everyone having such a great time, you know, on social media. There's pictures of people everywhere. And we always ask the question, well, why wasn't I invited? You know, or am I losing a step on the social ladder? And what about those likes? Why don't I have enough likes? I'm not receiving enough. Do people really care about me? Did I offend somebody? And so there's all these fears that we come up with. Am I significant or am I just insignificant? Because, again, I didn't get all those likes that I needed. And there's things like just the fear of the unknown. What's going to happen to me? You know, my family, my friends, and for some of you, your ailing parents. Like, what's going to happen to them? Now, I could keep going. I've probably gone on too much, actually, with all these various fears. But I could keep on talking more and more about many fears. And I'm sure you're probably thinking of some fears that you have right now. But the facts are we're inundated with fears. And I guess God knows us pretty well when the most frequent command in Scripture is for us not to fear. But I don't know about you, but I detest being afraid of things. More than anything, I cannot stand that, because that fear usually shows itself in my life in being anxious. This past week, I was very anxious for some reason, or depressed, or various phobias. As I mentioned, the peanut butter thing, you get so crazy that you get fear of peanut butter. Nightmares, stress. And even just being superstitious about things. You know, if I don't do this just right, this is going to happen to me. And so this morning what we're going to do, we're going to continue looking at the life of Moses. And last week, if you remember, we saw the faith of his parents, and we saw Moses himself as they looked to God's promises by faith to craft what we called a vision centered around the new covenant of Jesus Christ. And I hope challenged you. I hope you prayed this week for a renewed vision of Jesus and all that he teaches in his word to grow your faith this week. So remember again that the context of this passage in Hebrews and all of Hebrews really is that Hebrew Christians were being persecuted by Rome and others, and because they were trusting in Christ alone for their salvation. And the new covenant that was built upon the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ was far superior to that old covenant that we've been talking about for the past 11 chapters, and was built upon that sacrificial system that was incapable of permanently taking away the sin problem that we inherited from Adam. And so the writer is encouraging the people to not go back to the old covenant, to the old ways, and he's encouraging us and the people of that day in this particular passage not to fear, but to trust God. And his main point in these three verses we're about to look at is really the title of the message, Faith Conquers Fear. And so what my prayer is this morning is that we'll grow in our faith such that we're not going to fear. Now, I'm not dumb. Well, maybe. But, you know, it's like I know we're going to continue fear, but I hope by looking at the Word of God, we can lessen fears in our lives and get to that point where we're trusting him. So here's how it's going to look this morning. The writer mentions three major areas of fear. We're going to look at those fears. And then we're going to look at a specific incident from Moses' life. And then we're going to look at the antidote or perhaps an answer or the medicine to that fear. So I want us to notice first with me that the first major fear area we're going to notice here is powerful opposition. Now look with me at verse 27. He says, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So before we begin this, I need to give you a little background to this verse. There's been some disagreement about exactly what the writer was referring to in this verse. And you notice it says that Moses left Egypt not being afraid of the king, or that is of the Pharaoh. And there are two possibilities as to what the writer was thinking about. There is the possibility that he was thinking about when Moses left Egypt after he killed the Egyptian. You remember that? He saw this Egyptian person mistreating the Israelites. He went and killed him. And so then he, in Exodus 2, he left Egypt. But that's a possibility. Or secondly, maybe this was about when Moses leaving Egypt in the Exodus that we're going to speak of in just a little bit in the Exodus. So those are the possibilities. And the arguments for that first possibility are, first of all, a chronological argument that the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 was going in chronological order, and that's the next logical chronological event. And then the perhaps another argument is that the singular reference to Moses leaves support for Exodus chapter 2 again, because it says that he left by himself. It just speaks about him. And then the arguments against this are that Moses was afraid of the Pharaoh, and that's why he left Egypt after the killing. But in the Exodus, you'll notice he was not afraid. And so in the verse we just looked at, it says that he was not afraid of the king. And then another argument against is that verse 27 is kind of a summary of the next two verses of 28 and 29. And so that's it just kind of fills out verse 27. And so if you like one view, you're in good company, because John Owen, who's dead, by the way, and Calvin, he's dead too. Wesley's dead. A.W. Pink and John MacArthur, he's not. They all believe it's that second view. And then Ray Steadman and Kent Hughes and Phil Hughes and all these other guys, they believe it's the first view. And I tell you that just to tell you that this verse in particular, we're not really sure. But whatever the actual incident or the moment he's talking about is, the one thing is that we know is that the idea is the same. And that is that faith conquers fear. That's what he's getting at. And again, as we said, the book of Hebrews is about these Jewish Christians undergoing persecution. So the theme fits right in very well with that idea. So with that portion of the background study understood, I want you to notice with me first this first fear of powerful opposition as seen in verse 27. And the fear number one is the anger of the king. That was the first thing that we see kind of played out here. The Pharaoh was angry with the people of Israel, and specifically Moses, obviously, for wanting to leave. And God had given the people of Israel, the people of Egypt, severe plagues, and yet Pharaoh still would not let the people go. And then finally, God, as you know, changed Pharaoh's heart after the night of the death angel or the destroyer that came through. And so Pharaoh finally decided, we will let these people go. And then he immediately goes back on that decision. But he represents a powerful opposition to the people and the potential for Moses to fear the regime of the Egyptians. But what specifically was this powerful opposition? And then the question, of course, is, well, how does that relate to us today? Pharaoh is really a picture of the kingdom of Satan. It's a kingdom that's contrary to God. It's a kingdom in opposition to God and all that he stands for what we live for. Paul spoke about such things in 2 Corinthians 10, where he wrote, for though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have this divine power to destroy strongholds. And then Ephesians 6:12, he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And this is the worldview of the age in which we live in, a worldview that's contrary to God and his kingdom. Now, in order to kind of illustrate this, I want us to go to Matthew chapter 4, because I think when Jesus went to the wilderness, so if you want to turn there in your Bibles, we're going to look at a few verses there to kind of explain this idea of this opposition. And remember, Jesus had been tempted, is being tempted in the wilderness. The Spirit actually moves him into the wilderness, but he's been fasting for 40 days. And Satan was testing him in these three primary areas. And so what I'm going to look at is, as I started looking at this, I realized that these are areas where it causes great fear in our lives. And so I want you to look at verse 1. And notice first that the first area is this physical needs, or some have called it self-gratification, that he was being tempted to self-gratify himself. So verse 1 says, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days, 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And here's the idea then, that we want to fulfill our wants separate from the will of God for our lives. So what do? Well, we fear that we need certain things, that we must have them. And for some, it's material goods. Do I have, you know, what my neighbor has? I must have it because I fear I will not attain that same social status we've been talking about as they have. I have to have the toys that they have. And we often justify such things. But the reality is we can enjoy those toys sometimes. There's nothing wrong with those things. But the question is, but why do we want them? And is it the wisest use of our resources at this point? And then, do we want them because we fear a lack of a social status? For others, it's, as we mentioned earlier, we talked about the fear of missing out. I want what they have. You know, that vacation, those likes, that adventure. I mean, after all, my life is boring. I am stuck raising kids, or I have a boring job that at the most I get to go to Bullard or ARP, okay, and to work, and not to the Rockies or California or Hawaii or some exotic place. And again, I lose this step on the social ladder. And the idea is this what you fear? If you're like me, you know, just talking about those things, that seems so silly. Doesn't it? When you talk about it in the open, you go, why would I care whether people like me on some social media or whether I go here or go there? It just seems so silly. But we, and I emphasize we, me too, we're silly sometimes, aren't we? But the second thing I want you to notice in this is the self-protection too. That's the second thing that Jesus was tempted with. In verse 5, it says that the devil took him to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, again, it's written, you shall not put to the Lord your God to the test. Here in this passage, if you remember, Satan misquotes Psalm 91, and he brings Jesus to remember Exodus 17, where the Israelites demanded that God provide for them water. And remember, they said, is the Lord not among us or not, they ask. You see, they didn't trust God. They were afraid that God would not protect them. So in the instance here, Satan says to Jesus, jump off this pinnacle of the temple. You remember what the temple was all about. It was to show his presence and for the protection of his people. In other words, prove it that God really will protect you. And for us, this is a fear we often have. Will God protect us? You ever go through that? Do you ever fear whether God will protect you? When things aren't going as we think they should, will God actually protect me? Or am I fearful? Are we fearful, as our text tells us today, of the anger of the king? That is, in other words, the world system that exists today. I mean, the world system will tell you, you must fear. After all, there is evil everywhere, and that is true. There is evil everywhere. Kids get kidnapped, the shootings. The climate is going to collapse in 12 years, right? The world's economy, though looking good, it could fall in a moment. So there's this constant world system that challenges us and says, you should fear. And so should we fear that financial collapse, how our kids are going to end up, our job situation? Should we act independently of God to make sure things get done in a way of self-protection? And then the third thing, Jesus is tempted with self-exaltation. Verse 8 says, the devil took him to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. And we often fear again that if we don't exalt ourselves now and lift ourselves up now, we're never going to have anything or be anybody. And remember, Jesus knew he was going to have it all. Jesus knew that, but he also knew he had to go through much suffering, many heartaches. And of course, he had to die a cruel punishment, death, and the sins of the world were placed upon him. The wrath of the Father was then placed upon him to pay for that. So why not, Jesus thought, could think, why not just exalt himself now and skip it? In other words, skip all that agony, skip all that stuff, and not wait for the Father's timing in all of this. You see, we often do this. We fear that if we don't achieve now, we never will achieve. Well, those are some of the fears of a world system, a kingdom like that of the Pharaoh, self-gratification, self-protection, self-exaltation. But let's move now. What's the antidote? You know, that's all the bad stuff. What's the antidote or the medicine that's going to keep us from such a fear? Well, if you look at the scripture, back to Hebrews chapter 11 again, our first antidote is just seeing the invisible God. Look what he says. He says in verse 27 again, "By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." So why did Moses not fear the anger of the king, the world system of Egypt? He endured because he saw the invisible God. That's it. That's the medicine. That's the antidote. The NLT puts it this way: Moses kept on going because he kept his eye on the one who is invisible. You see, Moses was strong, steadfast. There was no wavering in his decision to abandon Egypt. That's what that word means when he left Egypt. So that's the idea of there's just no wavering. He's going to do it. There's no fear because he saw an invisible God. And it kind of goes back to that initial description of faith again. Faith in verse 1, that faith is not the assurance of, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. See, the essence of our faith is based on a God that is invisible to us at this point, not idols that we can see. The scripture tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. And so the writer is telling us in Hebrews that as Moses trusted in this life, in his lifelong vision of God, that this was the secret of his faith and perseverance. So what keeps us from the powerful opposition of this world? What keeps us from the kingdom of Satan and the worldview he espouses and the fear then that's bred in us? It's our lifelong view of God found in his word and his creation. And as we grow in the grace and knowledge of God, so our fears subside and our trust grows. That's the first thing. But secondly, I want you to notice the second fear, and that's God's judgment. Verse 28, "By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them." Fear number two was the destroyer. So I have a question for you. Do you fear God's judgment? The answer to that, I hope so. Yes, I do. This is a fear that we should have. But the question is, do we fear the judgment of God so that we do not fear the things that we do not have to fear? Now, that sounds a little wordy, okay? The people of Israel and the Egyptians both were in peril if they didn't obey God. He promised to strike the firstborn and the firstborn animals of all the people in Egypt, and he did, except to those who obeyed him. All people face the threat of God's judgment. Every one of us in this room face the threat of God's judgment ultimately. Why? Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Why? Because there's none righteous, no, not one. Why? Because Romans 8 says that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, John Knox mentioned him last week, but he was in a battle with the Queen of Scotland, and it was said this, he said this, that one does not fear the Queen of Scotland when he has been on his knees before the King of Kings. And here's the irony of this all. As we fear God, we will not fear man or this world system. You hear that? That's so important. If we fear God, we will not fear man or this world system. So do you fear death? Do you fear where you will spend eternity? Do you fear your journey in life? These are areas that you do not need to fear if you trust Christ. And it's interesting that those who do not fear God fear things in this life. You get that? Those who do not fear God fear things in this life. But notice here the antidote. The antidote for this fear, keeping the Passover or sprinkling the blood, it tells us. So Moses, by faith, he instructs the people to keep the Passover and sprinkle the blood of an animal on the doorpost of their house. And so as the destroyer or the death angel, as he is called in some versions, as he came through, he would pass over the house and the firstborns would not be affected. Do you know how long it took me to understand Passover and then Passover, to put those two things together? About a year ago. Anyway, I thought to myself, exactly, I have issues. But here's what the point was, but woe to those who fail to obey the Lord. There was wailing, there was death all around, judgment occurred. And this is an obvious picture to us of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us by his shed blood on the cross. As we apply the blood of our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, to ourselves by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we have no reason to fear death or where we will spend eternity. We do not have to fear the judgment of God for our sins since we trust his finished work on the cross. The scripture says, Paul said it, that everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so when we trust the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf as he died in our place and he was buried and arose from the dead, it's here that the most important thing in our life has been taken care of. The thing we should most fear, the judgment of God, where will we spend eternity? That's taken care of in Christ. Now, I want you to consider this. If the most important fear is taken care of, that is, where you're going to spend eternity, all the other fears we have are certainly taken care of as we trust in Christ alone for our salvation. Do you get that? The most important thing, if we trust Christ for the most important thing, which is where you're going to spend eternity, do you not think that if he can take care of where you're going to spend eternity, the most important thing, that he can take care of our fears every day of the week? All right? Now, I want to finish this morning by looking at verse 29 and seeing the last fear that we and that the Israelites encountered. And I've called this fear the fear of no way out. Look at verse 29. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. You see, it was by faith, it says, that Moses led the people across the Red Sea. But you remember the story again? They were actually backed into the corner of sorts. There was no way out. The Egyptians were pursuing them, and they were ready to fight. And the Israelites were backed up into the Red Sea. There was no way out for them. And so the fear they had to overcome was fear number three, crossing the Red Sea. We've got to cross the Red Sea. And so God tells Moses in Exodus to take his staff, cause the waters to split with two great walls, and the people then were to just walk through this dry land. Now, I don't know about you, but you would think, oh, this would seem easy, except this took a tremendous amount of faith. And why? Well, because who could say when the waters weren't going to stop and just come down on you, right? You're walking through and you're in the middle of the Red Sea, and you're going, I'm going to be crushed with all this. And I'm going to be drowned, just like the Egyptians ended up. So the point was, they really didn't have a choice at this point. They were completely backed up with no way out of the situation. But here is a fear we often are confronted with. Do you ever feel afraid because there doesn't seem to be a way out of something? I was thinking about this. Sometimes it's a job. I mean, you want more and you think you're stuck and you become afraid thinking, how can I do this for the rest of my life? Anybody been there for that one? I've been there for that one. Sometimes it's the raising of kids. You feel like there's no way out, meaning that your kids aren't perfect and you want them to be and you don't see an end to it. So it's like, there's no way out of this. Forever my life, kids are going to be terrible. And then just to be honest with you, sometimes it's your marriage, right? You know, this is a life commitment you've made, but you think, am I stuck in this for all my life with no way out? People think that way. And then sometime it is, and that's it. You can insert your own problem here. Something like that. Something that you feel that there's no way out. But there's an antidote for that too. Okay? And here's the third antidote, number three, obedience to the word of God. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. They trusted the word of the Lord that Moses received. And I'll be honest with you, this just seems so simplistic and repetitive. I mean, haven't I heard this since I was a wee little lad? If there's such a thing as a wee little lad, okay? Haven't I heard this? Read your Bible and pray. Obey the word of God. And yet, this Christian life is that simple. It really is. Yet it's so hard for us to take hold of it many times. I am constantly going back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Other versions, don't worry about anything. But in everything, the smallest thing to the largest things, by prayer and supplication. Prayer, praising God, thanking God, adoring God. Supplication, asking specifically for things and thanking him. To let my request be made known to God. And here's the promise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Constantly, simple obedience to the word of God. Go and pray. Takes care of that. Now, I need to stop this morning. But this morning, as we come to the Lord's table, I want it to be a reminder for us that we don't need to fear. I'm convinced, the more I talk to people, the more I talk to myself, which is a problem, but I realize that I fear so often. And I realize that I have the antidote, the medicine, exactly the thing that God has given me to stop it. So I want this morning the Lord's table to be that for us. A reminder that we don't have to fear. This table that represents the shed blood of Jesus and the broken body for us. It's a reminder of this. The fear has been taken away. If we trust in Christ alone, we have salvation in Christ alone. We're free from the bondage of sin and death. And we're free from fear. You get that? Now, I'm going to close with this morning. I want to read Psalm 27. I love this psalm. Listen to these words. If you ever need a fear psalm, here we go. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high up on a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my mother and father have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then these last words, wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. In other words, don't fear. Wait for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you that because of you, we don't have to fear. And my prayer this morning is that the many people this morning who have come here, most likely, if you're normal like me, God, they have fears that even now they wonder about. What will this be like? What will that be like? What about this relationship? What about finances? What about my job? What about the church? What about this or that? God, thank you that in Christ Jesus, we are saved. We are freed from the bondage of sin and death. We're freed from that. God, will you help us to trust you? And Lord, as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, may it be a reminder of your goodness and love towards us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information on Living Axe Church, please visit our website, www.livingaxechurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/livingaxechurch.